It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to the 404 Media Podcast, where we bring you unparalleled access to hidden worlds, both online and IRL. 404 Media is a journalist-founded company and needs your support. To subscribe, go to 404media.co. As well as bonus content every single week, subscribers also get access to additional episodes where we respond to their best comments. Gain access to that content at 404media.co. I'm your host, Joseph, and with me are 404 Media co-founders Sam Cole.
Hello.
Emmanuel Mayberg.
Hey, what's up?
Jason Kebler.
Good to be here.
And somebody else. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Surprise! Hi, my name is Jules Roscoe. I am the first 404 Media Fellow, which is a much more official title than I expected. But I also work here now.
HR approved the title, so we felt good about using it.
Yeah. HR being us in the Slack room.
We ran it up the chain.
Jules, is so good to have you here and for doing lots of different things for us. I'm really, really excited. What are you going to be doing while you're here? As far as you know, you literally just got here.
As far as I know, it's technically my second day, but the things that I'm going to be focusing on, when I worked at Motherboard, I did a lot of reporting on labor, unionizations, and specifically how they can interact with AI and automation and the developing world of technology and how that impacts workers on the ground. So that's the majority of what I plan to be focusing on. I'm also going to help run socials, doing some more vertical video type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll throw this to Emmanuel, because I think you did most of the announcement post of Jules coming on board. But Emmanuel, do you just want to briefly explain why we're doing this and I suppose how we're doing this, right?
Yeah, so the main reason we wanted to do this is because Jules is incredibly talented. We work with them at Motherboard and we're so thrilled about their reporting on labor and also the work they did on socials. And that's the number one reason. But also, Motherboard had a tradition that I think we're all very proud of hiring or giving fellowships or internships to people right out of college, first job in the industry, and then going on to do incredible things. And I think that's good for those people, obviously, but I think it's also good for media in general. We need places where early career journalists can get some experience, learn some things, and there aren't many of those places. Vice, for all its faults, was one of those places, and I think we're at a point now, as we've said, where 404 Media is sustainable and doing well, but I think that 44 Media being an operation that supports four aging, very old media bloggers is not
all right. Wow.
Just breaths from the grave.
Yeah.
I saw your tweet about this and I was like, okay, chill, man. Like,
yeah.
But you're right. You're right.
It's like we need a new generation of people. So we have enough support now from our paying subscribers to be able to offer this fellowship. So we're thrilled to do it. We still hope to grow more in the future. We're not quite there, but this is something we're able to do now, and we're thrilled and proud to do it. And Jules is a perfect fit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really looking forward to what we're all going to do together. And again, as Manuel said, this is only thanks to paying subscribers. So if you are a subscriber, thank you so much for that. And if not, and you're ready to, you know, join and support this sort of fellowship and other stuff in the future, you can of course do that at 404media.co.
Here's how old I am is I've been on Facebook a lot lately doing reporting on AI content, and I've been leaving a bunch of comments on AI generated images trying to talk to the people who are commenting on the images. So I'm like messaging people in the comments and I'm like leaving comments on the images. And yesterday my aunt, who is 77 years old, messaged me on Facebook and was like, "Hey Jason, I think that you're commenting on things that are fake." Oh, just wow. So you know, she was like, "I think you're getting scammed."
Like, looking out for you.
Yeah, looking out for me. So I'm of getting scammed on Facebook age.
Yeah, well, maybe we need to get more follows and then we can just hand it over, because apparently we're all getting silly and fooled by AI all over Facebook. Speaking of AI being over Meta properties, the first story we're going to talk about is by Jason. AI Instagram influencers are deep faking their faces onto real women's bodies. I mean, we'll get into what the videos are, how people are monetizing them. But I guess let's just start, Jason, with how did you find out about this? Because then we can get into the specifics. It was via a tipster, right? What did they tell you?
Yeah, so I actually learned about this from a 404 Media reader, which is if you are listening to this or reading this and you see something very interesting, please hit us up. But basically, I did a story about TikTok AI scammers, more or less, like people who were spamming AI content on TikTok. And a reader emailed us and said, "Hey, like, I've been seeing this situation where there are these AI influencers on Instagram and they are driving to OnlyFans and to OnlyFans competitors. One of them is called FanView. And their videos look real, more or less. Like, but I've made a game with my friend who also is getting this content where we realize that they're stolen from other influencers. So essentially, reels that other real influencers are posting are being downloaded by these AI influencers, or the people who are running these AI influencer accounts. They are then deep faking the fake face of the influencer onto these women's bodies and then posting them on Instagram. And
they're face swapping, basically.
They're face swapping, but it's pretty good. Like, yes, it's a pretty technically advanced face swap, which we can talk about in a bit, because I actually found where they're making these.
We'll get to that.
So I guess what I would say is, like, if you go to these Instagram, in the fake influencers AI accounts, the images look AI generated. It's like, I see it, I'm like, the images that they're posting on their, like, not their wall, but on the grid,
right,
are like, I'm like, oh, that's AI generated. But then the reels and the videos are like, that could be real. Like, I can't, you wouldn't know unless you were very good at detecting AI. You already knew it was an AI influencer, or you had happened to see the source video. And it was funny because, like, the person who emailed me, like, signed their email as a low-key dirtbag. And he's basically like, yes, I'm on Instagram just, like, liking a bunch of women's videos. And so he was getting delivered the real video and then the deep faked video. And he was like, oh,
there's something
like he kept like realizing. And so I spent quite a lot of time trying to find out which influencers these accounts were stealing from. And it's pretty hard to do if you don't already know, because Instagram is a very big place and there's no like reverse video search. You kind of just like have to like have either seen the video or like recognize the woman's body more or less, which is a very dystopian thing to say, but that's how he was doing it.
Yeah. Before we get to how you figured that out, I would just stress to listeners that yes, these are really, really convincing, in part because they are putting an AI-generated face onto a real woman's and a real worker's, a real influencer's body. So that part is real, right? It's just the face that's been changed. But the technology has advanced so much now that like it doesn't look shoddy. You know, I was scrolling LinkedIn earlier and somebody was talking about this new AI startup that can put anybody into any other video. So it had like some pop star walking across the stage and they put the Joker from the recent films into it. And it looked like shit, honestly, like really, really garbage. This, on the other hand, is you can't tell. I would not have been able to tell that was a deep fake if you hadn't have told me. And we've been following this for years and years and years.
Right. I mean, this is something that Sam has stressed in her reporting for years. And Sam, I'm very curious what you think, but it's like often when we were writing about deepfakes at the beginning, it's like a celebrity's face was being put onto a porn performer's body. And in this case, and like right away, you could be like, oh, that's Scarlett Johansson. Like you could identify the celebrity's face. In this case, it's a fake face being put onto an Instagram influencer's body. And it's like a harm that's been perpetrated since the beginning of deepfakes where sex workers' work is being stolen. But that's not what we've like traditionally talked about. I mean, you have written about it quite a lot, but it's not just the celebrity who's being deepfaked that is being wronged here. It's also the sex workers' labor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of why we say over and over again, and sex workers say over and over again, it's like, it's happening to them. So it's going to happen to everyone eventually. It's like these, I can guarantee you that these Instagram models and influencers would probably get really offended if you called them sex workers. And what's happening to them now is what has been happening to sex workers for so long. And they've been raising the alarm about it for so long. And like, you know, people are like, oh, well, don't do porn then. It's like, no, this is coming for you too. You know, this isn't, you're not above what's going on here. And it's also really frustrating. And, you know, this is something that like all of us have written about at some point or another, but it's frustrating because catfishing is such a real problem on Instagram already. People making fake accounts of porn performers and putting them on Instagram. And yeah, it's like real actual sex workers and porn performers can't be on Instagram because they get banned. Because Instagram doesn't allow sexual content of any kind, or even if you link out to a like an OnlyFans site or, you know, some kind of content site that does porn, you get your account shut down. So it's just making the problem of catfishing so much worse, which is already a huge problem. And yeah, like you said, like Joseph said, it's like, I can't tell the difference. Like I was looking at these and I was like, which one is real? And which one, like, which one is the original one?
It's crazy.
It's really crazy. I'm also curious, like what the, like Jason, maybe you can explain, because I will admit I only skimmed the article. but can you explain just like what's the grift? Like what's the point? Because you're not replacing it with a famous person's face, so it's not like the fantasy of like I want to see Scarlett Johansson nude. It's like just a random. I mean,
they're just creating influencers, as in like they're creating like a whole story for these influencers in some cases. Like, you know, there's a specific like Spanish fitness influencer and she's a fake person. And she's just like, I'm going to teach you how to work out and I'm hot, etc. But it's like Adriana Avellino, which is
one of the main ones in the piece.
Yeah. Right? And it's like, I hesitate to even say like she, because it's a person doing this. There is a human being like fucking these women over behind the scenes. But it's like, I also don't know how to talk about it otherwise, because it's just like this, she's a robot. She's not even a robot. It's a fictional thing. But it's
I think people understand that, but it is difficult.
I know. But it's just
very strange. Yeah.
Yeah. The person running this account is like amassing followers for this person and then has created FanView for them. And FanView is an OnlyFans competitor. And it's like Adriana had like 95,000 followers on Instagram by the time Instagram deleted the account.
After
I told them, like, hey, some of your most famous influencers are having their content stolen. It's like they're stealing from people who have like over 1 million followers. Like I identified 5 or 6 different influencers that they were stealing from. I also identified a couple people that they were taking reels from who had like 1,000 followers, just like random people on Instagram.
Which kind of highlights what Sam was saying about it's coming for you, and that can be, you know, you have millions of followers or you have 1,000. These grifters do not care, basically.
Yeah, but basically the grift is like subscribe to my OnlyFans, and FanView kind of lets you see how many people subscribe to it. So it was $5 a month. I subscribed to it because I was curious what was on there. And it's like, I can't imagine anyone subscribing to this and being happy that they paid $5 for it. But you get like 7 deep faked photos of this influencer.
And they the same quality as the sort of stuff on Instagram? As in, because it's so convincing on Instagram. What's the OnlyFans or the FanView or whatever stuff like?
So they only had images there, and so they were like less convincing in my opinion, but then there was another like fake influencer called Sophie Sky who had 258,000 Instagram followers and is has a Patreon. There's a Patreon in bio, so it's like click through, subscribe to my Patreon. The Patreon is $20 a month, and when you subscribe you get deep faked images of Sophie Sky, and it's like those are full nude and they're like on a sex worker's body. And like I was able to identify the sex worker because I ran it through a reverse image search, and it's like the sex worker that they're putting this fake face on is Angela White, who is one of the most famous porn performers in the world. Like she has millions and millions and millions of followers.
Which is probably that's probably the only reason why I actually worked with reverse image search, because if it wasn't somebody so famous, it probably wouldn't have worked, right?
I don't think that it would have, yeah. Right. And I was surprised. I was surprised that it did work with reverse image search, but it's just like the fake is so bad.
I mean, you touched on some of how you figured stuff out there on like the grift side, but sort of before that, when you get this information from the tipster and they're like, this stuff is happening with Instagram influencers, you have to then go find more examples. How did you go about finding videos which involve the deepfake faces and then like their real influencer counterparts? How did you do that? Because that sounds like a really hard problem.
Yeah, so I mean, sometimes you get an extremely good tipster. So the tipster sent me a few real and fake videos side by side, and it's like it's like they self-describe as just like being a simp on Instagram. It's like they've just been liking this stuff for a while. Their algorithm has taken over, and so they were like, I just have this stuff saved. Like, here you go. So that was helpful. Like they basically identified like 4 or 5 people that were getting their videos stolen from. And then I was able to go through the reels that the AI was posting. And then I scrolled through the reels of the women, of like 5 or 6 different women that I had seen their content being stolen from. And the interesting thing, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff here, but it's like one fake face has been pasted onto like 7 different fake bodies. And so it's not just like one, they're not just stealing like this. Adriana is not just stealing from one influencer. They're stealing from like a handful of them. And that's kind of, I don't know, it's like fucked up and dehumanizing in a different kind of way, I think.
The consistency of the face, I think, is like morbidly the most fascinating bit, in that it's not just like, oh, we're going to put a fake face on a different body with like a different face each time. You know, it's kind of the account isn't just like, hey, look at these hot women. It's like, look at this hot woman that we've created. And it's the same across the entire thing. It basically creates like a character out of nothing, and it's consistent, and that's pretty crazy. How are people doing this exactly? Obviously it's deep fakes, but do you know have an idea about the tooling or sort of the techniques?
Yeah. So I talked to Instagram on the phone and they're like, this is horrifying. We're deleting this shit. Which is, I guess, to their credit, but they seemingly have no way of finding this stuff like reliably, which is bad. And it's like, we have written a lot about how AI content is taking over Facebook more broadly, and Facebook just like does not have a handle on this at all. But it's very interesting because there are a lot of YouTube videos about how to do this, and specifically how to steal content from people. And I emailed Google and YouTube and I was like, hey, this is all over your platform. Here's various examples. And they're like, okay. And then I didn't hear from them again. And I followed up with them a few times. And so like they're learning on YouTube. And I think that sort of shows how like a social media company might want to moderate on its own platform, but if they're not breaking the terms of service of that specific platform, these platforms are very inflexible in terms of how they actually act on that content. And that was something that when we first launched 404 Media, we did a story about how Instagram was advertising a bunch of drugs to me. But a lot of the harm that was happening, they were like linking out to Telegram groups. And right. So Facebook was like, well, this is happening on Telegram. Mm-hmm. So it's not our problem. And in this case, it's like a lot of the quote unquote bad stuff is happening on Instagram. But YouTubers are teaching people how to do it. And it's like YouTube, one of these YouTube accounts has like 2 million. Well, one of the videos has almost 2 million views. And it's from a verified account, and that account has like a shitload of subscribers. And the whole video is about how to steal content from women. And it's just like, it's shouldn't be on there, I don't think. But anyways, the way that they're doing is they're creating a woman, like they're creating an AI image using like many of the tools that Emmanuel and Sam have written about before. Like there's various of them. They sort of like refine it, and then they are using a face, like a video face swap technique. And it's not like a Nudify app where it's very simple and you just like click and then it gives you something shitty on the other side. It's like a lot closer to the original deep fakes that Sam and Emmanuel wrote about a lot, where you kind of have to know what you're doing. There's sometimes like a text prompt. There's sometimes like you have to like run stuff on the cloud and like go to GitHub and so on and so forth. So I don't know. There's like GitHub projects that are doing this, and it's just not, it's like a complicated ecosystem, but it's also something that the platforms should have a handle on, in my opinion, and they don't. And it's like, that is what Emmanuel and Sam have been talking about endlessly. And I don't know. It's like, I feel like for the most part, Facebook has done a decent job of keeping like deep fake porn off of its platform. Probably. Like, I don't know. I don't log onto Instagram and see a bunch of like deep fake porn, but in this case, it's like, these are harmful deep fakes that are amassing in some cases more than 100,000 followers. Like all the comments are like clearly real people. Like, yeah. I'm more sure that these people are real people who are commenting and like thirsting on these women, these fake women, than the AI Facebook images that we've talked about in the past, because it's like they're very like specific comments about the video and stuff.
Right. They're watching it and engaging with it. And I mean, I guess that kind of leads to the final thing I just wanted to ask you, is that to me, basically what you just said, like, this is even wilder than the Facebook shrimp Jesus story that we had a couple of weeks ago at this point, right? Which is there's just this wave of AI generated crap on Facebook, and some of that is Jesus Christ made out of shrimp. People are seemingly engaging with it, saying amen or whatever in captions underneath. But it's like, it's stupid, but like relatively harmless. Here, they're stealing labor, they're stealing likeness, and these AI generated fake people are then tricking seemingly real people into a grift to then hand over money. Like, the harm here just seems so much more worse. Would you agree with that?
I think it's much worse. I mean, I think that the Facebook AI generated images are like dystopian and weird and uncanny. And, you know, I can imagine harms from it. It's like our first story was about, you know, wood carvers who were having their images stolen and then sort of being used to go viral on Facebook. But that has evolved to a point where it's just like really weird and kind of like engagement bait in a spam sort of way. Whereas this is like deeply insidious. It's harder to detect. I probably wouldn't have noticed it if, you know, this person hadn't emailed us. It's like, it's really hard to detect, I think, even on a human level. And then, yeah, it's like one of the videos that I saw on YouTube was like, you can create whole narratives for your AI influencer and then used it on a video, like an Instagram reel of Margot Robbie, where she's like showing an image from her childhood of like her and her cousin. And she's like, oh, you can like create a backstory for your fake AI bot. And I think that that's really bad. And I think it's also just like, as we've been reporting for a long time, the gigantic social media platforms don't have a handle on this even remotely.
Yeah. All right. We will leave that there, but I'm sure we'll be talking about this more again soon, probably when these grifters escalate in some sort of way. But when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a story that Sam did, which was, I think, a long time coming. We'll be right back after this.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
All right, and we are back, as I said, with Sam's story. This one is how amateur performers are making porn in the Apple Vision Pro. Sam, first of all, the Apple Vision Pro, the $3,500 to $4,000 computer that you wear on your face, is not really supposed to play porn, right? Could you explain like that context just before we get into what's new here?
Yeah, I mean, Jason wrote the original article about this, so he might be better suited to explaining this. I was learning about it as I was writing this article, just kind of like the way that it has changed in the last few months since February when it launched. So basically, like the Apple Vision Pro uses a file type that is different from regular, like an Oculus or something like this, like
it's, like VR, it's a specific
type. Yeah, like any other VR headset. because of course fucking Apple has to do everything proprietary. So is that right, Jason? It's like the file type was the issue. It's like there wasn't any content readily available for the Apple Vision Pro because
Apple Vision Pro has like a spatial video is what it's called, I believe. And it also has theoretically the ability to play the file type that most VR porn is filmed in, but none of the VR porn websites have like put support for Apple Vision Pro in, essentially. And it's like a beta for it. And so when the Vision Pro came out, a bunch of people who bought the device for porn or wanted to use it for porn, like went and tried to, and they couldn't. They were basically like forced to watch porn in 2D.
Which is tragic.
Why even bother, right? You're like a fucking caveman at that point.
People buy VR headsets, to be totally honest, to game or to watch porn at this point. It's like there's no one's going to work in VR. You know, it's like movies. I have one friend who he has an Apple Vision Pro, and he was like, it's my favorite platform to watch movies and TV on. And I was like, you are kidding me. This is crazy. But I haven't tried it, so maybe he's onto something. But yeah, like, porn has been carrying the VR market all along. Like for the last, I don't even know. I mean, VR has been a thing for a long fucking time. So, and yeah, I read about this in the article, but I was just kind of like going down a rabbit hole of like the things people have used VR for, even back into like centuries ago when people were using like making VR headsets out, like quote unquote VR headsets, where they could watch 3D erotic like movies where they kind of like flip through. So yeah, it's something that people want in this market, and because they bought this really expensive headset and then couldn't do the one thing that they wanted to do in it, they were understandably pissed. So yeah, that kind of brings us to our new friends Damien and Diana.
Yes, Damien and Diana, and they have found a way to get porn on the Apple Vision Pro. I mean, I say they found a way. They kind of just went out and did it in the most obvious way. But I think it's interesting in that it's using the tools available to them. Can you explain what this couple is doing exactly? Like, how are they getting porn onto the Apple Vision Pro?
Yeah, so they just wear the thing while they're having sex. It can record video natively in the headset. And that's something that like a lot of other headsets can't do. That's part of, you know, the appeal of the Apple Vision Pro. So yeah, they just wear it while they're fucking, and that's what they record. Someone told me to put a post-it note in the eyepiece to keep it recording, because I guess if you take it off, it stops recording. So now they can kind of like put it down and like record like a scene setting scene, or, you know, like record them in the kitchen before they have sex together, and then they do the point of view stuff with it on.
Is it just one Vision Pro at this moment? Are they wearing one each, or is it just one device?
It's just one, because I guess if you did two, you would be looking at someone else with a headset on.
I don't know why you're laughing. I'm very, very serious about this.
I mean, maybe that is surely someone's kink, 100%.
Sure, 100%.
The absolute best quote is, quote, "We knew from the very beginning that the headset would create a barrier to our usual intimacy. Diana likes to look into my eyes when we have sex, not the digital eyes that gaze back at her from the headset, or worse, the ominous pulsating glow that means it's recording." Is like, I don't have a Vision Pro. I haven't seen one. Also, although Joseph, you're the only one who's tried it on, right?
Yes, not in this particular context. I went to a conference last week. It was sort of a journalism / you meet people from the FBI and tech companies, and we'll have a piece coming out that uses some of that. But yes, we all got very drunk, and then somebody was giving demos of an Apple Vision Pro, and I put it on and I did like the dinosaur demo you have when there's like velociraptors and stuff, and very interesting, very good. All very, very blurry for me because I had to take my glasses off. So there was just like shapes generally in my direction. And it's like, oh, they're coming towards me. But it's like, wow, big brown blob.
That was the drunk you just suggested.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Maybe a combination of the two of them. But very interesting piece of technology. At the time, I was like, wow, I'm definitely going to buy it. And then the morning after, I was like, I'm not. No, I'm good. So that was the alcohol for sure. But with all that being said, I can see, I can imagine how completely immersive this would be for this couple. If you're filming and then viewing pornographic material in the Apple Vision headset, I think it could be crazy as a viewer to do that.
Yeah, it also like frees up a lot of different options for point of view porn. So right now, a lot of the VR porn that's available out there is point of view from like the male's point of view. So it'll be like a guy is laying down because in real life, there's a giant like camera rig over his face and you can't like jostle that around too much or, I mean, it's sensitive equipment, obviously, but you can't move around a ton because like it'll make you nauseous in the headset. And also like, you need a steady camera on what's happening. So just laying perfectly still while like the girl does her thing downfield, if you can imagine. And usually it's like blowjob porn. It's like pretty like, you know, standard vanilla stuff. And with this, you can, and that's also like, that's what the market wants, to be totally honest. Like it's like heterosexual, like blowjobs is all really the guys who are buying these things want right now. But if you can wear a headset and record it that way, they were telling me that they want to do more like female point of view and like, you know, like she could wear the headset and then, you know, be moving around or like walking around or like, you know, doing different positions and stuff. And it wouldn't disrupt the camera at all because it's made to be recording in that way. The only, and this is funny because this has been a problem in VR for, you know, years and years, but they were like, well, we can't find a headset that fits her head properly because these things are made for dudes usually. Like that's kind of the
right, literally the size of the straps and that.
Yeah, and I remember when VR first started becoming like a big thing, that was like a big deal, was like these things aren't made for women to be wearing with our tiny little heads. I guess it's just too much of a technological difficulty to make a headset strap that fits lots of different sizes. Hopefully, I mean, the content will get different. If more people start doing this stuff, it'll open up new kind of genres, and maybe then more people of like lots of different like kinks and fetishes and also like demographics will want to watch porn that way if it actually like is something that they're interested in beyond like watching a dude get a blowjob.
I think it's very, very interesting that the tech itself may actually change the content that's produced. I think that's like a fascinating thing where sometimes it will change how something is distributed, you know, algorithmic, or you're trying to get onto the YouTube algorithm or something like that, and that changes the content you produce. Here it's like, well, we have this headset and it allows us to literally physically do more things. And that might change actually what is filmed and produced. I guess just the last question I have is like, they're not just filming it for their own personal use and consumption, right? They are filming it to be sold. How are they selling it? And are they having any problems with that? And sort of what happens there on the money side?
Yeah, so they... A lot of platforms aren't really set up for this kind of content. Pornhub has like VR content, but they hadn't been able to figure it out yet when I talked to them about where they were distributing their content. So they made their own website and they were like, well, we'll just kind of sell off of that. Like we'll just send people the files, which are huge. They're like big zip files. And then they can just download them. They can buy them and then download them. And we'll send them, you know, they'll buy through PayPal or Stripe or whatever, and then we'll send them the file. And again, this isn't like a massive, massive market. So it's like, that's manageable for two people to do. But as we know, as listeners and readers of 404 Media know, you'll know what's coming. Stripe and PayPal really do not play well with porn. Like they do not allow porn at all. So you can't be a pornographer, certainly, and use PayPal or Stripe. A lot of people who are just like sex workers who use those things for other purposes that are very safe for work aren't even allowed to be on those platforms for any reason. So it's very strict. So they immediately found out that that was the case. And they had to like switch payment providers. They had to switch banks. They had to, you know, go through this whole like hoop jumping mess to actually get set back up once they got kicked off of PayPal and Stripe for selling VR porn. They had to go back in and say, okay, if we want to use our own website, which I think is really smart. And the only reason a lot of people don't do their own websites is because of this reason with the banks. If we want to have our own website, then we're going to have to find a payment provider that actually lets us, you know, process payments. They said that it took over a month and threads and threads and threads of emails back and forth in the process of trying to get set up with this website and this bank account. They persevered. They did it.
This doesn't really come up in the piece because it's like a very left of field question, but I'm just thinking about it now that we're talking about it out loud. But any idea like what Apple might do about this? I mean, on one side, you can see Apple being really vigilant about, oh, we don't want this to be used to create pornographic content or distribute pornographic content. On the other side, this is content filmed locally, stored on the device, by the device itself, in exactly the same way that like your iPhone 15 or whatever might be filming. And then sure, you're selling it afterwards, but people also sell stuff that's being filmed with iPhones. I mean, do you think Apple's going to be mad at all? Because I don't know if they have ground to stand on either. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, it would be really wild if they did try to delete people's locally. It would be like being on your MacBook and suddenly like your personal porn collection, which is not like, that's actually not a crazy idea because like that's something that like, you know, I mean, nobody expected any of this other kind of discrimination to happen or, you know, people did expect it, but it's like those were all wild things before, is for a bank to shut you down and debank you because you sell porn, which is legal. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. But I don't know. I don't think Apple would go that far, but
yeah, I think it would be very hard for them to, for the reasons.
Yeah, I don't know how they would
suggest it. It's like you can film porn with your iPhone, and you can distribute those files, and that, and like another iPhone will play them.
iCloud or something. I don't know. You tell me, Apple.
I don't think they would go and delete stuff because that would be like extra crazy. I'm almost just like a couple of steps before that, where like I can just at least see them being like a bit pissed off that people are publicly distributing this material that's been filmed with Apple Vision Pro. I don't know if they are going to do anything about it. I definitely don't think they should, and I don't necessarily think they would do anything about it. But I can see people inside Apple being like, what the fuck, man? Don't do that. But that's all, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I mean, if they start, like, you know, advertising it as, like, you should buy an Apple Vision Pro for the porn, maybe they would make a lot of money.
yeah, maybe. More, because apparently tons of people are returning the Apple Vision Pros anyway after they buy them. All right.
A bunch of people were using them to film the eclipse, by the way.
Oh, God.
Which it just looked like a dot in the sky.
Well, not also your eyes.
I don't know.
That's good. All right. We will leave that there. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, I'll now play us out. But if you're a subscriber, we're going to talk about Jules' first story on a New York City chicken shop using remote workers over Zoom. It's a fun one and a really interesting one with labor implications as well. You can subscribe and gain access to that content at 404media.co. As a reminder, 404 Media is journalist-founded and supported by subscribers. If you wish to subscribe to 404 Media and directly support our work, please go to 404media.co. You'll get unlimited access to our articles and an ad-free version of this podcast. You'll also get to listen to the subscribers-only section where we talk about a bonus story each week. Another way to support us is by leaving a 5-star rating and a review for the podcast. That stuff really helps us out. There's a couple more there. I will pull one out for next time. This has been 404 Media. We will see you again next week.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.